Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Chris McShane. Chris, we are recording this show on the evening of day one of the MLB Rule 4 draft, or first-year player draft, if you prefer. The podcast will probably not go long enough to give you live commentary on the Mets pick at number 53, but in the general draft spirit, if you could draft one writer to write for Amazing Avenue, who would it be?
I think I'm going Ribbon.
Okay, there's a few different angles you could go from there, but I'm curious to hear your justification for that.
Just for the
lulls.
Yeah, pretty much. He works hard. He works very hard, and he writes about a bunch of things. He writes well. I imagine he doesn't require much editing. All those things. I feel like if anything could get James writing more regularly again, it would be having Ribbon in the fold.
It's funny you say that, because my choice for a writer I would draft right for Amazing Avenue is James Kannengeisser.
He's done a couple of recaps this year.
I know. I really missed this week in SNY, though. I feel like he would have some interesting things to say about the Steve Gelbs era.
I know. I've tried. I occasionally fire off an email with tips to the This Week in SNY at Gmail.
Sadly, they remain unresponded to, I assume.
Yes. And I've talked to him about it once or twice, and yeah, it's a dream. There was a draft in the editor a few weeks back. It was a 2014 review, and then it just slowly went down, and faded into the abyss. I don't know. I don't mean to get your hopes up, readers, but I'm just sharing that my hopes were, mine were, so, or, you know.
This is episode 122, Amazing Avenue Audio. We will not really be talking about the draft, for one, because we did it last week. For two, because we probably won't be done by the time the draft is over, or at least day one. And for three, a lot has happened in Metsland over the last week. They just wrapped a 3-4 road trip and are still somehow in first place in the National League East. And really, I'm at the point where, you know, people are like happy about a 3-4 road trip against two sub-500 teams and just keep banging that NL East drum, NL East first place drum for a team that's first place, that's four games over 500, I should say. It's really kind of like arguing with like an Arisian evangelist at this point. You can't win. Like, did you know the Mets are in first place? Well, they're in first place, and they will always be in first place. There's no way of getting around it. They probably won't always be in first place.
They might.
It's possible. I just have this feeling, you know, the Nationals are going to reel off 9 of 10 again, and that's going to be it. They did it once, well, they did twice, to get back to even. They're just going to do it again, and the Mets are going to go 500 against the, what, they got the Giants and the Rockies this week. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds
Giants,
right.
Rockies, Toronto. They'll go like 5-4. Well, it's 8 games. They'll go like 4-4 for those 8 games, and the Nationals will go 8-1 over the next 9. We're just like, oh, that was nice when the Mets were in first place. That will never happen again. But apparently I'm a bit of a pessimist.
I'll take the optimist side here.
But anyway, we'll talk about some of the reasons the Mets might not be in first place soon. Like, I don't know who's on third, for starters. I do know who's on third, actually, and it's Eric Campbell.
Yes.
We'll see if we can come up with some alternatives to that over the next hour or so. We'll talk about the six-man rotation. Actually, we won't talk about the six-man rotation. We talk about the six-man rotation, it seems like, for a month, but there's no longer a six-man rotation. What it really was a Dylan G spot start. That was the thing that happened. So we'll talk about the five-man rotation. And we'll talk a little bit about Bobby Parnell, Adilson Herrera, and Travis d'Arnaud looking to rejoin the Mets this week, which might be good. I mean, it really couldn't be much worse. Later in the show, Chris will talk with Anthony DiComo, Mets beat writer for MLB.com, about some of these same issues, so you can get an actual insider's view that knows what he's talking about instead of us two yahoos. And we'll wrap things up with your emails. Episode 122 of Amazing Avenue Audio starts now. And Eric Campbell is the Mets' everyday third baseman, Chris.
That he is.
He did hit a home run last night. The other thing that happened. He did make one of the worst throws I've ever seen on a Major League Baseball diamond. I won't say professional baseball diamond because that would be a lie. But on a Major League Baseball diamond trying to start a 5-4-3 double play. And look, you know, it's fine to like Eric Campbell. Soup's on. That's great. Probably should not be a Major League starter.
What's Adelin Rodriguez up to these days?
Playing first poorly. Yeah, so obviously the Mets really haven't had a need internally to develop a third baseman over the last decade, and they have not. Aaron Balderas, who once upon a time was a third base prospect of note in the Mets system, is now mashing in Japan, I believe. Might be Korea, but I think it's Japan. I could look this up. It's always bad when we're like 4 minutes into the show and I'm searching for a long dead Mets prospect that's currently playing in Japan. But here we are. Yes, he's with the Yokohama Bay Stars. Oh, he's not hitting so well anymore. Last 2 years in Japan, he was very good for the Oryx Buffalo and the again the Yokohama Bay Stars. He's 32, so he's actually older than Wright. Baseball's weird. But he's carved out a nice little career in Japan. Played there for the last 8 seasons for the Hanshin Tigers, Oryx Buffalo, and Yokohama Bay Stars. Don't know if he's better than Eric Campbell. We might have to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an issue. We know they've been, Jim DeLoya, their head of pro scouting, was at the Milwaukee Brewers series this past week, as was reported pretty much everywhere. You know, is he looking at Aramis Ramirez, Gene Segura, Carlos Gomez, maybe? Probably Aramis Ramirez. you know, it's one of those situations where we have to sort of be realistic. If I was setting an over-under for games played in 2015, additional games played in 2015 by David Wright, it's like 0.5. The dude's talking about like checking in with his doctors each week to see if he can start rehab, and it's like, oh, but it also hurts to stand up.
Yeah.
That's not good. So when you see things like, you know, could they have been in on Juan Uribe? I don't know. I really don't know sort of the internal workings of that deal between the Dodgers and the Braves. But they do need a long-term... Okay, I'll phrase it this way. It's probably a better way to do it. You know, Murphy's on the DL with a quad strain. You know, you hope he's back in 2 to 3 weeks, but again, with this team and injuries, who knows? Do they need to look towards a long-term, or at least the rest of the 2015 solution at third base with Herrera back this week and Murphy on the DL for hopefully close to the minimum?
So, yeah, I say yes. I mean, I'm probably higher on Aramis Ramirez than the average person is right now. There's always the question of whether or not ownership's willing to take on any additional salary at this point. But if they were, he's the type of guy who you'd have to think Milwaukee would be pretty happy to get his salary off of their books, and it wouldn't take that much to get him back. You know, he hasn't been that good so far this year, but his track record's pretty good, and he gives you a guy that, hey, if